John's Gospel, chapter 10. This is on page 1076, if you are following in the church Bibles. Starting to read at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Amen. And we thank God for that reading from his word. Now, the clicker is not working, so I'm going to have to do this a lot. Okay. That's the whole. I'm going to have to do a slide at a time. Okay, so in the last few weeks, since New Year, we've been exploring John's Gospel. And as we have traced our way through John's Gospel, we've been looking at the answers to two key questions that John really is posing in this Gospel. Who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King? And what is his kingdom like? Now, of course, the answer to the first question is Jesus. It has to be the answer, doesn't it? But it is. And John makes that plain in the earliest verses of his gospel. But the second critical question is, what is his kingdom like? And John answers these questions, particularly by giving or telling the stories of a number of what he calls our signs. We would see as miracles, amazing happenings. And John says, "I'm giving you these signs, these miracles, these amazing happenings, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." In fact, in the previous verse to this one, in John 20, verse 30, John says, "There are so many signs that Jesus did. I haven't got space to write them all down, but he's chosen just seven that we have recorded here in this gospel. He's chosen those to tell the story and to give the answers to the question, who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King, and what is his kingdom like? Now, over the weeks, we have seen the answer to the question that's been asked in these signs. We've done six signs so far, changing water into wine, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool, feeding over 5,000 people, walking on the water, and healing the man born blind. But then we took a little bit of a turn and recognized that not only does John tell these accounts of these signs that point us towards Jesus as the Son of God, the one who is from God, but he also gives us a number of sayings. And so we've been looking at these sayings where Jesus uses this almost a prefix, I am. And he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. And there are seven in John's gospel. There are seven, or at least seven, of these I am sayings. Now, today we come, obviously, onto our fourth saying. Let me just click all this up. Saying number four, I am the good shepherd. And I've mentioned these next few things in the last few weeks as well, but there are seven of these I am sayings in John's gospel, and that I am denotes divinity. And it takes us all the way back to Exodus and chapter 3, when Moses, in many ways, Moses is minding his own business. He's looking after his father-in-law's sheep in the desert. You kind of wonder, what was he thinking about? What was going through his mind? But what catches his attention is a bush that Moses sees that is on fire. But not only is this bush on fire, but the bush has flames coming out of it, but it's not being burnt up. It's not turning black and to ash. And so Moses approaches the burning bush, and God speaks to Moses from within the burning bush. And God instructs Moses, he is to go to the leaders of the people and also to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people of God go, to release them from slavery in Egypt. And quite naturally, I suppose, Moses says to God, speaking to him from out of the burning bush, well, what is your name? What is your name? I need to have a name that I can speak to the leaders of the people. What is your name? And God says, I am who I am. That is my name. Tell the leaders of the people, I am has sent me, has sent you to them. And so we go all the way back into Exodus, the second book of the Bible, and Jesus adopts this title for himself as he speaks these I am sayings. And today we come to I am the good shepherd, the fourth of these I am sayings. Let me click onto the next slide. I am the good shepherd. And this is the first key point that we have. And in some ways, it is the main point of this particular passage. The good shepherd risks himself for his sheep. That really is, if there is a key point in the passage, it is this. The good shepherd risks himself for his sheep. In verse 11, of course, Jesus speaks and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then we have that repeated. So we have it in verse 11, but then if you've got your Bible open, you'll see there in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then again in verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And then in verse 18, again, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. This repetition that we see in this passage of Jesus as the good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep calls to us. This is the key in this passage. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd risks himself for his sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, well, the hired hand is not the shepherd. and does not own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, when danger approaches, that we're told the hired hand abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf, we're told, attacks the sheep and scatters the flock. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd risks himself, risks all that he is and has, doing everything necessary to protect the sheep. Now, I recognize that when we read this phrase, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, what we can very quickly do is jump ahead to the death of Jesus and say, well, that's clearly what it means. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, he hears Jesus saying, I die for you. But I think we need to just hold our horses and not rush to the death of Jesus. Jesus says, the hired hand runs away and the wolf attacks the flock and scatters the sheep. What does the good shepherd do? Well, the good shepherd, in a sense, doesn't want to die, because the good shepherd wants to protect the flock from the wolf. The good shepherd wants to be there to supply all of the needs of the flock. But the good shepherd will risk himself doing everything necessary to help and support and feed and protect the flock. And this is the key theme that runs through the passage. Jesus will do everything necessary for his sheep. And we receive this today. Jesus spoke it so long ago to those who were listening at the time. Jesus does everything necessary for us. Whatever our need is today, whatever question we are asking today, whatever it is that we are going through, Jesus is the good shepherd who comes to us to do all that is necessary for us, that we might find the answers to our questions, that we might find the supply for our need, that we might be protected when we are under attack and supported when we are going through difficulty. And yes, we know, because we've read the end of the story, yes, we know that the good shepherd dies. The good shepherd risks himself for his sheep, and if necessary, will even die for them. But everything about the good shepherd is for his sheep. So the good shepherd risks himself for the sheep. What else do we see in this passage? Secondly, the good shepherd saves the sheep. The good shepherd saves the sheep. Here we have to go back a couple of verses into verse 9 that we looked at this passage a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And you may remember 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were on this passage, we asked the question, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean for a sheep to be saved? To be saved from danger, to live in safety, to live in freedom, to enjoy the pasture that the good shepherd directs them to. The good shepherd saved the sheep. We see that in verse 9. We see it in verse 11, where Jesus says, I will lay down my life for the sheep. I will risk everything for the sheep. I will save the sheep doing what is necessary. And then again in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. What does it mean to be saved in this passage? It means that we are safe in the hands of Jesus. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter what threatens us, what potentially will upend us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will save us. No one will snatch us out of his hand. Next, the Good Shepherd feeds the sheep. The Good Shepherd, doing everything necessary for the sheep, the Good Shepherd feeds the sheep. Again, we have that in verse 9. They will come in and go out and find pasture. It's feeding. In verse 4, going back again, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Being in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we find that our needs are supplied. We are fed by him. In verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Again, this relationship, this standing with and being in the presence of the Good Shepherd. There is feeding. Our needs are supplied in his presence. And again, in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. But you may notice, if you look carefully at the screen, the Good Shepherd, I put in inverted commas, the Good Shepherd feeds his sheep. When Jesus said to the people, I am the bread of life, there was a sense in which Jesus was saying, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, I will feed you. That's in chapter 6. In chapter 7, Jesus says, if any one of you is thirsty, come, what does he say, to me, and I will satisfy your thirst. Very directive, come to me. The focus is come to Jesus. Something extraordinary, Jesus says here. He feeds his sheep, yes, but in verse 9, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The Good Shepherd not only directly feeds his sheep, but directs his sheep to find food. Yeah? Do we see that? The Good Shepherd directs the sheep to find the food in the pasture. And I don't know how that sits with you, but I've pondered over that a great deal. The Good Shepherd directs us to find food in the pasture. Yes, we come to him and we are fed by him. But the Good Shepherd doesn't stand over us, you know, giving us all the time. But he directs us to go and find good food within the pasture itself. And for me, that gives me a sense of responsibility. As it may give all of us a sense of responsibility for my journey of faith. As I follow after Jesus, as I go where he directs me, as I obey his word to me, I have that responsibility to feed myself within the pasture that he directs me to. And it may be that we want in our lives to come to Jesus and for him constantly to be giving us everything we need all of the time. That happens from time to time, but quite often Jesus is saying, you know where the food is. You know where the food is. Go and eat it. Go and enjoy it. Whether it is we find that food in prayer or in reading the scriptures or in meeting together for worship, or in doing good deeds for others. These are feeding activities of being a blessing for others. We are fed as we do these things. Jesus directs us into good pasture. And so the Good Shepherd feeds the sheep. And then finally, the Good Shepherd protects the sheep. I'm repeating these verses. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in verse 28 again, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. As the wolves attack the flock, the good shepherd protects the sheep. The good shepherd will do everything necessary for us, that we can be all that God has called us to be. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks himself for his sheep, even if necessary to death. The good shepherd will save and supply the needs of his sheep. The good shepherd will feed directly his sheep and direct us to good pasture. And the good shepherd protects the sheep. And we give thanks today that whoever we are, whatever we're going through, God's arms of protection are around us. Let's pray together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear. For God is with me, and his rod and his staff, they protect me. Lord Jesus, we pray for ourselves today, and we pray for one another today. That there may be for us a fresh understanding of you, Lord Jesus, as the Good Shepherd. But Lord Jesus, we pray also not simply for an understanding, but for a real and deep and profound awareness that you are our Good Shepherd. You do everything necessary for us. You bless us. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that your words of life might truly be food for us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.